If you have your Bibles this morning, I certainly encourage you to turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 5. This passage has been on my mind this weekend and continues to be there, and I'm not just picking it up because it's where I left off the last time, although it is where I left off the last time. But I feel led very much of the Lord to continue in this passage this morning. And trusting that the Lord's in that matter. And I do encourage you to follow along in the scripture because the words here are so wonderful and important. And hope the Lord will just bless us to be able to look at them in some detail and glean from them some of those riches that are there. I want to read the beginning at verse 1 in chapter 5. We'll read down through where we stop when, as the Lord leads us here. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. It says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." We'll stop there at the 10th verse of this 5th chapter. Made an effort the last two times that I've stood, some of you have been there when I made that effort to speak from this passage, and I'm sure there will be many things we say that will be repetitive. But that's okay. It's wonderful to be able to share the same good news with you this morning that we were able to talk about last night and yesterday. Because the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe with all my heart, if no matter what passage of scripture that I would go to this morning, if I'm faithful to the truth, if I'm faithful to the teachings of God's word, there'll be many things that we say that's going to be repetitive every time we stand before God's people. And that is not only something we shouldn't be worried about, it's something we should be looking for. It's something we should be expecting. It's something we should be thankful for. In one place, the writer says, "For you it is safe," which means for you it's needed or necessary to hear these things again. Tell me the story of Jesus, right on my heart, every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell that story over and over again. And that is the message that's found throughout Scripture, and it's certainly found here in this 5th chapter of the book of Romans. He's talking about being justified by faith where you have peace with God. We need peace with God. We need peace with the Lord's people. We need peace in this old world. There's a world that cries peace, peace, where there is no peace. We know that there is, as God's little children, there is absolutely no peace for us in this world, or really for anyone. There's no true peace outside of a relationship and a fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful today that by the grace of God, we have that sweet hope of having communion with him. We've sung about him this morning. I believe we've sung to him. I believe we've sung for him. And if we've truly lifted up our voices in praise today, in the song service, we have declared the gospel in song that we hope to be able to preach to you this morning. The justification that's by faith happens in the heart of a little child of God when they believe and trust in the Lord. They are declared to be just before God. It isn't how they get just. It isn't how they're made just. Their justification that makes them just was done by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ a long time before they ever believed. In actuality, for us as God's little children that were born after the Lord died and rose again, for us some 2,000 years ago, the Lord did that for us. Our salvation was really made secure at that point, even before you and I were ever born. Because the Lord had chosen a people, and Jesus had come to die for that people. And when Jesus died on the cross and paid the sin debt and rose again, He was, as it says in verse 25 of the fourth chapter, He was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Even before you and I had lived and had committed any wrong, the Lord knew exactly what we would do and where we would be and knew every sin we'd ever commit. And those sins, when Jesus died some 2,000 years ago, those sins were legally taken from us and given to Him, and there He paid the price for them at Calvary, and you and I were as clean as we'll ever be clean when Jesus said, "It is finished." There is no action, no behavior, no activity on our part, or really anyone else's part that's necessary to make us more clean than we were the day Jesus said, "It is finished." Isn't that good to know? That our salvation, our washing, our cleansing, our atonement, our peace, our reconciliation was made when Jesus died on the cross. We were reconciled unto God. God was not reconciled unto us because God didn't need to change. Reconciliation means to change. It means to make right. There was nothing wrong with God. He didn't need to be reconciled. You and I might get in a fight, and I be wrong, and you be wrong, and we both need to be reconciled one to the other, because I need to change where I'm wrong, and you might need to change where you're wrong, so that we might be reconciled. And that kind of reconciliation happens between humans. That's not the way God reconciled us, because God had done no wrong. He didn't need to change. And by the way, He will never change. Our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever He pleased. And the foundation, our God had changes not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Isn't it wonderful? We have a God who's an unchangeable God, but also a holy and a righteous God, a just God, a God of mercy, a God of love, a God of grace, and also a God of holiness and a God of justice. And the only way that justice and grace and holiness and all of those things can come together is at Calvary, where Jesus died on the cross. And there God's justice was met, and God's mercy was applied, and God's grace was applied, and there is no action on the part of any person that can add to that, nor is there any behavior that can take from that. God has done it, and you and I today are to be reconciled to Him because He has reconciled us to Himself. That means He's already made us to be at peace with Him. Therefore, I'm declaring to you in the gospel, be at peace with the Lord, because He has already made you to be at peace with Him. I just want you to believe that today. My desire is for you to embrace that. My desire is you to rest in that and that alone. Because if you're resting on anything else this morning, if you're leaning anywhere else or looking to anywhere else, expecting some other thing to give you peace and rest, as a little child of grace, you will walk through life completely unhappy and miserable, because you're swimming in a river that's going one direction and you're trying to go the other direction, and you're working so hard when the Lord says, "Just trust me. In all thy ways acknowledge Him," and He'll do what? He'll direct your path. You trust in Him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. I mentioned it last night. I saw a little picture on the internet that where there was a man with a hand on the door, and the word said, if you're trusting in the Lord to open the doors in your life and to shut the doors in your life, get your hand off the door. And, you know, I thought it was pretty good instruction, because that pictures me so much. Wanting things to go my way, wanting me to be able to open the doors and close the doors, and at the same time, with my mouth saying I'm trusting in the Lord, but with my actions, I got my hand on the doorknob. You know, sometimes can you see us just trying to open the door, you know, trying to just check in the lock, see if it's going to work, when in reality, you and I can let, in a sense, we let go. Now listen, we don't let God in that God needs our help. We don't let God in the sense that He can't do it without us. We don't let God in the sense He's needing us in any way. But I'm telling you, in our conscience and in our heart, you and I need to be still and know that the Lord, He is God, and let go and let Him, as in our own release, just say it's in the Lord's hand. And you'll find a great, great peace today. No matter what's going on in your life, when you just simply turn it over into the hands of the Lord and say with the scripture, "Thy will be done." Not my will, but Thy will. I believe today in your heart you know there's a God who's in heaven. I believe that. If you don't know that, I can't teach you that. I can't make you know that. I can't give you that. That's a gift that only comes from God. But if God has allowed you by His grace, and it sure would seem silly that you're here this morning if you didn't believe that God was in the heavens, if you didn't believe those things, it seems really silly that you're here to worship a God you don't even believe in. I really don't believe that. I believe you know that He's here, and I believe that you trust in Him. There may be times in your flesh you doubt. There may be times that you get questions about things. You don't understand why this is going on and why that's going on. But you know ultimately there's a God who made this world. It wouldn't be here if He hadn't made it. And the one who taught you that is the God of heaven. He's the one who's given you that understanding. All of my instruction that comes from, and all the teachings of the Word of God would never allow you to know and understand that. But if God has taught you that in His heart, I'm telling you, you have a wonderful gift. That gift is faith, which is the ability to believe and trust in the Lord. And He says here, the Apostle Paul says, as we take that faith that God has given us and use it and exercise it, He says we are justified by faith. That means not that we are washed and made clean. That I've already settled by the scripture. We know that happened before the foundation of the world, really. We can look at verse 9 of this passage and get it just real clear, because it doesn't say maybe, might be, or anything. He says, much more then, being now justified by His blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's absolutely no remission of sins. Jesus had to come, and Jesus had to live a perfect life, so that He might be a perfect sacrifice. And then His blood had to be shed, and it was shed on the cross of Calvary, and not one drop of His blood was wasted. Not one drop. There's a doctrine in the world that says Jesus died for everybody in order to hopefully get somebody. The reality from the scripture is that Jesus died for His people that He loved in covenant, not just a little group of old Baptists gathered in a meeting house at Happy Creek, but out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, out of every people, how the Lord chose His people, and they are all over the globe. There is innumerable, that means you can't count them, as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. It's a number no man can number. And when Jesus died on the cross, every one of them that He loved, that He chose, that He foreknew, that He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, every one of them He justified, which means His blood washed away their sins so that they would never be remembered against them anymore. He didn't try to do it. He didn't hope to do it. He didn't do all He could do and leave it up to you. If He had have done that, we would all be in trouble today. Absolutely no good news would be able to be declared this morning, because We all are failures, and because of that, and I know that's not pleasant for men to hear, but it's the reality. Listen, it's what the Bible teaches us. He tells us that me, you, and all of us all together, there's none good, no, not one. There's not one that's righteous. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that stirs up his heart to go from one direction to another direction, as impossible as it is for the leper to change his spots or the Ethiopian the color of his skin. It's impossible for those who are accustomed to do wicked to turn and do good. And the Apostle Paul even said in himself, there is in me, that is in my flesh, no good thing, not one. And salvation would not be possible were it not for that salvation that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is, he is not only a way, he is the way, the only way, and that the surety for every little child of grace. But God's little children find a justification in their conscience that's applied to their conscience when they look at the cross and say, that's my hope and trust, is that he died for me. And there's a peace that comes. Oh, it's wonderful when you have that peace, and it's terrible when you don't. Y'all agree with that, right? It's wonderful when you can have that peace, but it sure is not good when you don't have that peace. Where are you today in regard to heaven? Now, somebody would say, oh, what are you saying, preacher? Somebody said, hey, it sounds strange in an old Baptist church to ask that question. But I'm not asking you about what that is, because that's been settled. The Lord settled that. But what I'm saying to you, where are you today with that question? Where are you today in your mind with that question? Not that there's anything you can do to change what that is. That's already been settled. In the mind and purpose of God, the work has been finished. His children are going to be with him, no matter what they think about it. But I'm telling you, what I think about it affects what I do today. What I think about it affects how I feel today. What I think about it affects how I live today. What I think about it doesn't change anything about the reality of whether Jesus died for me. If he died for me, I'm safe in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what I think about it sure does affect how I feel about it right now and how I live in this world. It's important for God's little children to live trusting in the Lord, so that they shine their light in this world before others, that God is glorified. It is not only important that he changed us, it's important that we live in the change that he's given us and let our light so shine before men that others may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And the only good work we can do is in believing. So we're either believing and doing good works today, or we're in unbelief and not pleasing the Lord in our life. And I tell you, when you're walking, trusting in the Lord, there's a peace that comes. A peace that comes when things are going good, when your body is working well, when physically you feel good, when financially everything's okay, when emotionally you feel pretty settled, when your family seems to be going smooth, when everything seems to be going well in your life. None of those things are really the cause of your happiness. Sometimes we think, if I can just have those things, I'll have happiness. Listen, there are people who have all of those things, but they are not truly any real peace or rest in their heart because they're out of fellowship with the Lord. And I'll tell you, most of the time, those things are not just the way it is. I wish sometimes that my life was just really a whole lot smoother. I wish we didn't have this and that. Wish we didn't have this problem. I sure would take care of this old hip pain or joint pain or whatever it is that's been a pain this week. I would have handled that along the way. But I'm telling you, in the midst of that, even this morning, even when I felt like I don't know that I even can get to the house of God, I'm so thankful that I'm here because I'm really not hurting right now at the moment. And I thank the Lord for that. And it seems like sometimes the only time I'm not hurting is when I'm in the stand before God's people. I get a little bit of relief. I don't know all about that, and I sure hope it doesn't come back. I'm trusting in the Lord that he'll continue to supply what we stand in need of. And what I'm saying to you, as we walk in that grace, in the Lord, we can handle whatever comes in our life. And without the Lord, we can't handle a thing. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is teaching here. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, We have peace with God through, now get this, peace. Where does your peace come from? It comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's an understanding that the Lord is with me. Not only that he's taking care of heaven, but he's taking care of today. He's taking care of this moment. He's taking care of whatever I've got in front of me. He's taking care of wherever I am in life. I can look to him and lean upon him, trust him. And wherever I am, as I trust in him, he has promised to supply those things that I stand in need of. He goes on and he says, by whom also we have access by faith. Now, how do you have access? You got to have access into this grace wherein we stand. How do you have that access? By using faith. Well, where does faith come from? Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. It's given in the new birth. But then it's one of the fruit that is mentioned over in Galatians. It's one of those wonderful fruit of the Spirit that comes by the Holy Spirit. And we have it in us, and yet we are to exercise it and use it in believing and trusting in the Lord. He says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Don't we need grace to be able to stand today? You said, brother, you don't know all the problems and everything I'm going through. I do know this. We don't know everybody's problems and we don't know everybody's troubles, but I'm telling you, his grace is sufficient for whatever trial you're going through. And the way you have access to that grace is by believing. And the way you believe is through your faith. And that comes from God. It's a gift of God giving to you. But it is our responsibility to use that faith that God has given us in trusting in him. You and I know that there are times where we had the ability to trust in him, but we chose to do something other and go another course. And when we do that, we don't enjoy that grace that's there for us. We receive that grace in a sense in vain. Not that the grace, anything is wrong with it, but you and I don't have access to it because we don't exercise our faith. Today, you and I need to believe in the Lord. That's really what preaching does. It just tells you again to do what you need to do, and that's believe in the Lord and trust in the Lord and depend upon him. And we say it over and over again, but we can't say it enough. We need to say it to one another all the time, and we need to share that. We need to share it in our families. We need to share it in our homes. We need to share it on the job. As God's little children face troubles and problems in this world, we need to trust in the Lord who is able and exceedingly abundantly above anything we ask and think can supply our needs. He has delivered us in the past. He's delivering us right now, and he will yet deliver us in the future. Y'all believe that? Then how do you believe it? By faith. And yet there sometimes old doubt enters in, doesn't it? Even while I'm saying it, you say, yes, brother, I know that's true, but. And those buts get in the way every time. What I want us to do is continue to just go, you go right back there and just continue to lean on the Lord. He says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Listen, God's little children, it's important for us to stand. It's important for me in the midst of this sciatica not to fall completely apart. My dear wife would say amen to that. She says, well, you need to practice some of that because, you know, when I'm in public, I'm holding up pretty good. When I'm in private, sometimes I'm hollering out. And it's not so pleasant to be around someone who's like that. And I understand that. What I want to be is more faithful in the midst of it as I go through a tribulation. Listen, it isn't anything like our Savior suffered on the cross. And I'm getting a little taste of that. So that I can have some fellowship in that. It's not only that, it's only he who can comfort in this. It's only he who can give me strength in this. And though this is a trial and a problem, and though we all go through them and have those trials and the problems, you look at those and remember those trials and problems in your life. Did you not learn some things in the midst of those trials that you really never learned anywhere else? When you're in the midst of those big problems. At times you said, well, it just didn't seem to turn out the way I wanted it to. Well, you know, that's the way it is in life. Things don't happen just the way we want them to do. But we can say again in our hearts, being resting in the Lord, thy will be done. Here, we know this. One day, ultimately, we'll be carried out of this world and we'll be with the Lord in heaven. And we have that sweet hope of the glory of God. That's what he says here in the second verse. He says that we're standing now by the grace of God and we rejoice. Where is our joy? One day we're going to get out of here. You say, well, that sounds like a strange way to live, just wanting to die. I'm not just wanting to die. I'm just saying to you, it's going to get better. It's going to be better by and by. There's a time coming where there will be no pain or problems or troubles, and we rejoice in that time that awaits us, and that becomes the focus of our life so that we can get through these little glitches and these problems that you have along life's way. Doesn't mean your life is just going to be a burden and all trouble all the time. It means you're going to have some troubles along life's way. And greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And with the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have joy in the midst of those troubles in the Lord. You can rejoice in the Lord. And the ultimate rejoicing comes when I remember I'm going to be home one day with the Lord and all of God's children are going to be there. And I don't know how it's going to be, but what a day it'll be. You get real happy when you think about that to the point you really don't care much about what's going on right now. It gets to be very, very secondary. And that's a promise that's coming because Jesus loved you enough to die for you. And He secured that. And that's a promise you and I can count on. And just as sure as that eternal promise awaits us, the timely promises of God await us every day. Every morning when you get up, every problem that you face, you take it to the Lord. Whether it's a little one or a big one, you take it to the Lord. There's no big problems to God, and there's no problems too little. Somebody said, I think I'll handle the little problems. What problems are not little to God? And you say, I won't take those to the Lord. Listen, that's how to make a little problem a big problem, is not taking it to the Lord. We should take all our troubles and our cares to the Lord and leave them there. He says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Now, don't read this that we glory for tribulations or because of tribulations, because that's not what it says. It means in the midst of troubles, would weigh you down and cause you to grieve and hurt your heart, and you wish you didn't have them. We have a place to go, don't we, when you're in those troubles. When I'm in pain, though I can't get the pain to go away, I can go to the great physician and He'll give me grace to either handle it or the grace to it. He'll remove it. He's able to do that. Not only is He able, He has done that, and I can look to Him and lean upon Him even in the midst of those troubles, and I can rejoice in the Lord in the tribulation. It isn't because of the tribulation, but I can recognize that this tribulation, if I'm experiencing it, it will serve a purpose in my life, and God is the one I can go to for consolation and strength, and He will teach me in this some things that I need to know. Maybe something that I need to know, that I need to share with a loved one down the road or with a brother or sister in the church. You know, I can empathize with some people about things they've had now because I've had them in a way I could not before. If you talked to me about plantar fasciitis before, I'd have said, well, I'm sorry you got a pain in your foot, but I wouldn't have said thought much about it. Now I can truly empathize with you with what that is. Someone who's lost someone close to them. And lost someone who's dear to them, can empathize with others in a way they really could not until they had experienced that. And God consoles us and in our hearts through every trial, and by that same consolation He gives to us, when we have experienced it, we can share that with one another. And is that not a great blessing when you're talking to someone that you can really understand where they're coming from? I know it is for me when I'm talking to someone. It's really frustrating when they don't seem to get it. And they don't seem to understand what I'm going through. You can always go to the Lord and He will get it every time because He knows all things. And God's little children who've been through those same kind of problems and troubles can understand because they've grown in those tribulations. Because tribulations don't just happen in your life. They work things in your life. And that's where we can rejoice in them. That means rejoice in the Lord in them. Not rejoice for them, but rejoice in them. And He says, and not only so, but we glory. That means rejoice in tribulations also. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation brings a waiting on the Lord in our hearts, a trusting in the Lord. You're left to the place where this is too big for me. I can't handle it. The only thing I can do is turn it over to God and leave it in His hands and say, Thy will be done. And you find a peace in your sorrow. You find the oil of joy for mourning. You find some rest in the midst of your weariness. You find answers for all your questions. You find them in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, rejoice, he says, and for we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. When we wait on the Lord, we see, we have the experience of the Lord's deliverance. I just want you to stop for a moment and just think in your life about some hard and difficult times. I know it's unpleasant when we think about those to some degree, but can you remember in those hard and difficult times the Lord coming when you needed Him and supplying what you needed? And I'm telling you, our lives are filled with that. And sometimes if you stop and think about it, you get overwhelmed. I hope tears kind of, you know, build up in your eyes and your heart wants to overflow towards God, because has He not been with you in some hard and difficult times in your life? Have you not had some experiences that you know, if the Lord hadn't been with me, I wouldn't have made it. Wouldn't have made it through that. God hadn't taken care of me, I wouldn't have made it. If God was there when I needed Him, and when I looked to Him, and He delivered me, and He gave me the grace to look to Him and gave me the ability to make it through. And now I might be in another trouble, and I feel like, you know, how could I ever doubt Him? But when you remember, it's hard to doubt Him, because you remember the experience. You had to have the tribulation, didn't you? To give you the patience. And then the patience brought on the experience. As you waited on the Lord, you had the experience of God's deliverance. And now you have that experience. You can lean on that experience. And remember how good the Lord has been to me. That's what the hymn writer was writing when he said, it's grace that's brought us safe thus far, and it's grace that will lead us on. And you know where we're going? We're going home. We're going to be with the Lord. You know who's going to get there? Every one of God's children. We all got a path on that way to get there. And in that path, there are many obstacles, many things that stand in the way. But the Lord Jesus Christ is that friend, that daysman, that's always at hand, that's always with you, that you can look to every day. And sometimes we should choose to try to make it on our own, and He's still taking care of us. But we don't have that peace in our heart and our conscience. And I want God's little children, as a minister of the gospel, I want you to have that peace in your conscience and that rest in you, that while you're going through those hard times, and they are hard, you don't drop your trust. You don't drop your shield, but you remember to hold it fast. Because as soon as you drop your shield, the old devil is waiting to try to rob you. He can't take your eternal life, but he can take your joy. And they don't want to lose your joy. Listen, I need my joy, don't you? I need my joy. And you can have joy in the midst of pain. You can have joy in the midst of sorrow. You can have joy in the midst of sadness. You can rejoice in the Lord always. You know how I know that? Because He said, do it. And He wouldn't have told us to do it if it couldn't be done. We do it in the Lord, and we trust in Him. He says, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. And my life is filled, and your life is filled with the experiences of God's deliverance. And all we do, but sometimes we close our eyes to them, don't we? Sometimes we forget them. Part of preaching is to remind you again of that. What the Scripture does is remind you again of that. God has been good to you, and He supplied what you needed. And He will not let you down, ever. And whether you're young or old, you trust in Him, you lean on Him, and He will supply every time and at every problem what you need. And He will open the doors that need to be opened, and He'll shut the ones that need to be shut. Some of those that you really want to have open, He will keep closed. And some of those that you'd rather Him not open, He may call you to do things you don't want to do and don't feel able to do. But if He opens that door, you walk through the doors He opens and walk by faith, leaning upon the Lord. And He'll never give you a task He won't supply you the ability to handle. And I'm talking about if you're digging ditches, or if you're the President of the United States, or whatever your calling might be. Whatever that might be. He says, and patience experience. I bet I look like a mess up here. That's all right. And experience hope. I got hope today. And it's not just a wish. It's not just like I'm wishing. I've got an earnest expectation, don't you? I'm expecting days. I'm expecting one day to be at home with in heaven with my Savior. I have a hope. It's not a wish. I earnestly expect it. I'm looking forward to it. I'm anticipating it. And as I go through the day, I expect Him to be with me. I'm anticipating it. I'm looking for Him to help me. As I pray for my family, when I'm walking by faith, I'm earnestly expecting Him to answer those prayers. Not necessarily in the way I want them answered, but in the best way. I'm expecting Him to supply to them the good that He has in store for them. The promises that He has for them. The life that He has for them. The joy that He has for them. That they might walk in the fruit of the Spirit and bring forth that fruit in a way that their lives honor God. Listen, the most pleasing thing in the life of a mama or a daddy or a grandparent is to see their children walk in a way that honors and glorifies the Lord. Anything to make you happier than to see that. Any little glimpses of that. And I'm praying that that would occur. Not only in my own family, but in the family of our church and in our lives and God's people's lives. So that our church, this little place, might shine as a light and be a brightness and a help to God's little children who are in this world. As we go through tribulations, they work patience in us. As we have patience, it works experience. And as we have those experiences, we have hope. And that's an earnest expectation for the good of God to be supplied to us. Has it not been there in the past? None of us would dare say the Lord hadn't been good to me today. I hope you're not there. If you are, you might get there sometimes. If you are, you've got the old adversary who's got you and distorting your thinking. And sometimes we hear him saying, oh, God's let you down. Listen, the devil would have you believe today that the Lord has let you down, that you're not getting what you deserve. He'll lift up yourself so that he can tear you down. When we keep ourselves where we belong, we're at the feet of Jesus. And just like Brother London prayed, if we didn't have a single blessing, God would be just with us. But he's not just given a single blessing, has he, Brother London? He's loaded our life with blessings. Get your eyes on them. Think about them. Think about the goodness and the mercy of God toward you. How blessed we are. Our life is full of it. Full of those blessings. And that's our experience. And experience hope. And then hope, that earnest expectation, makes us not ashamed. Now that's maybe it's kind of a strange way of saying it means God will never let you down. That's really what that means. You'll never be ashamed. You trusted in Him. You'll never be ashamed. You leaned upon Him. You'll never be sorry that you turned it over to Him. You'll never be let down. You may be let down in your own thinking about what you, but that's because your thinking gets wrong. But I'm telling you, when you put it in God's hands from your heart, by the grace of God, you're not doing anything God hadn't given you the ability to do. It's not talking about man mustering up something that isn't in him. In the new birth, God put hope in your heart. He put that in you. That earnest expectation was given to you by the grace of God. And when you use that hope, trusting in the Lord, and hoping and earnestly anticipating the blessings of God in your life, that hope will not make you ashamed. You'll be so thankful. That's how I'm living. Today, I'm thankful we have the Lord to trust in, don't you? Wouldn't it be a scary world today if we went out there thinking there was no God to take care of us? And yet sometimes, as we look at our life, that's kind of the way we're acting out. Even though that's our heart knows better because it's born again. Our flesh gets to thinking, well, I got to handle this on my own. And boy, you work hard trying to do that. And how's it? It's kind of like, Dr. Phil said, how's that working for you? I'm not endorsing Dr. Phil in any way, but when something ain't working, don't keep doing it. I mean, when you're trying to get something done, and it's not working, that's the definition somebody said of insanity, just continuing to do the thing that doesn't work over and over again. It's insane to do that. Listen, we need to trust in the Lord. That's really the message. Lean upon Him. And He says, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Why does it? Why are you not ashamed? Because the love of God, listen, when you just fall in love with the Lord. You know, He already loves me. I need to love Him like He loves me. I'll never get to that, but I want to grow in it, don't you? I want to love Him more. And the more I see that He's done for me, the more I'm able to love Him. The more I see myself a sinner, the more love that I see that He showed towards me, the more I can love Him in return. Who is it that loveth most? It's the one who feels the most forgiven. How forgiven do you feel today? That's why it's important for old Baptist preachers to tell you how rotten and no good you are, so that you might understand how much you're forgiven of, so that you might love the Lord the way that He loved you in as much as you can. I want to love Him more. Well, you need to know how much He's done for you. When we start thinking we're having a rough time, we've forgotten who we were and what we really deserve. And when we understand who we are and what we really deserve, we realize I'm not having such a rough time. I'm just going through a little bump right here, and the Lord's going to supply what I need. I'm going to rejoice in tribulation because I know they're working in me patience. And I know that patience is going to work experience. And those experiences are going to be a blessing in my life. And then the experience is going to give me hope for any other problem that I face in the future that can not only help me, but that can help others of God's little children as I share that experience with them. Your experiences can help others. You don't know who that might be. Might be a little child that you haven't had yet that's going to come in your life that's going to need that lesson. And you'll have that lesson to share with them. And you may not even have a hope for anything, but the Lord can supply things exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask and think. Has He not already done that and proven that? He has to me. I don't think one of you would dare say He hasn't to me. Because He's been good to us. Hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Oh boy, the Holy Ghost. Thank the Lord for the Holy Ghost. We sometimes diminish the activity of the Holy Ghost in our thoughts. We don't diminish it, making it littler. We don't think about it as much as we ought to. The Holy Ghost is with us every single day. When Jesus left His disciples, He said, I'm going away. But I'm not going to leave you comfortless. He said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, but I'm going to send another comforter. And that other comforter was the Holy Ghost. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost, not only just, He didn't just begin, He'd already been working all through the Old Testament and was working in the days of the apostles. He was already active, but in a special manifest way, He became active in this world. And now He is with us in such a wonderful way in this dispensation. We have the movement of the Holy Ghost in our life every day. As you look to Him, He'll lead you when to keep your mouth shut and when to talk. He'll lead you when to walk this way or that way. If you look to Him, He will guide you in your life every day. It's an awareness. He's with you all the time. Should we not be mindful of that? The person of the Holy Spirit. He's really what has taken up His abode in your heart. He lives in you. And He guides you and He directs you. And as we follow Him, we won't make a misstep. And you say, well, why do I make so many missteps? Because sometimes we do what we want to do rather than what He leads us to do. I just had to say it. I just had to do it. I just had to think it. When the Spirit all the time in me was saying, keep quiet, don't do it. Keep your mouth closed. Started to say shut, but that would have been just, be quiet, don't say it. Not needed, not necessary, the Lord knows. Leave it in His hands. Trust Him. And you know, it's important, listen, it's important what comes out of your mouth. It's really important. Be careful what you're saying. When we express those things that scare us and those doubts, we give them, in a sense, some power in our life. When we just say things that are not coming from faith. Be careful that your mouth is speaking what faith is directing and not what fear is directing. Sometimes fear directs what we say. And we give it, in a sense, more power. We speak it and we hear it and we feed on it. And it, we feed the old man. And the old man, it's like Brother Darrell preached one time here, and I thought it was such really good. He said if you had two dogs, and you had a black dog and a white dog, and they were fighting with one another, and you wanted to make one stronger than the other, all you had to do is feed the one and don't feed the other. And the one that you feed is the one that's going to get stronger. And if you and I have a flesh and we have the spirit and we feed the flesh more than we do the spirit, we're going to make the flesh stronger. What we want to do is get the flesh and keep it under. We want to feed the spirit. We do that by being in the Word of God and in prayer and looking to the Lord. We know which one is stronger truly and ultimately will win in the life of every little child of God. But we also know it's important for us to keep the old man under subjection. And you can put old woman, old man, whatever you want to do. We got to keep our bodies under subjection. So that mortify the members. Mortify those things that would hinder us and hurt us. And watch what we say. Let our mouth speak that which is truth. Because with the mouth what is made? With the mouth confession is made. He that believeth in his heart, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That isn't a salvation that gets you home to glory. But your mouth professes the victory that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we say with our mouth, we should be talking words that give glory and honor to the Lord. And not let anything come out of our mouth that would dishonor Him. And when a little child of God speaks hopelessness with their words, they're dishonoring the Lord. And that's sin. When we speak hope and trust and faith, that we're believing and trusting in the Lord and leaning upon Him and directing Him, then we have a peace that comes in that and a deliverance that comes in that. He says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. This gets into the wonderful love of God. When did the Lord die for us? When we were good? No, we were ungodly. He said, for a righteous man, one would scarcely die. And by the way, you look over all mankind, can you find one righteous man? No, absolutely not. Even those that are self-righteous, that try to get good enough. You can't hardly find somebody who's trying to get good enough so someone say, I'll step up and die for them. For a righteous man, one would scarcely die. For a good man would be one who would give everything he's got to other people. He might be considered a good man. But if that wasn't done in faith, it's not truly good. And the Bible says there's no good things in any of us by nature. It only comes from God. One would even dare to die. But Jesus didn't die for the good, and He didn't die for the righteous. He died for us. And those He died for were sinners. He says, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Who's going to be saved from wrath through Him? Everyone He died for. Everyone He's died for. That's good news today. And then He says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. That's a fact. He says, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. What Jesus did in His death was save us and secure us. But He didn't just die, He lives. He's seated today, a living Savior on the right hand of the Father. And as we look to Him every day, we find timely, temporal salvation every single day as we trust in the Lord and lean upon Him. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you.